halacha l'maisa. So he has tshuvas where he talks halacha l'maisa. So he writes, he's disagreeing with all the rishonim. He says if the baby is born bein hashmashes, let's say 10 to 7 tonight, 10 to 7, 5 to 7, bein hashmashes time. Baby boy is born. Say next week he won't do the bris on Tuesday. Maybe it's only the Yom HaShavi. He do on Wednesday. What if Wednesday is Yontif? So all the Rishayim say what you said. It's a suffix. He said they're right. So the head of his only meal of his mana. So he says why? But the din is like Beisilil. Let me talk short with the Tzarech HaChol Nefesh with Tanami Letzarech HaYom Tzas. You may hit the jackpot. It may be that it is a meal of his mana. So suffix. Let's say I expect guests. They may or may not come. So if the guests come, I have to give them some cookies. I have to give some. I don't have any cookies. So you're allowed to bake, but the guests may not come. So it's a suffix deraisa l'chumer, or even if the guests come, I don't know how many cookies they're going to eat. So I'm only allowed to bake the exact amount of cookies that I know for sure they're going to eat. I'm not allowed to bake one extra cookie. No, you can bake extra to make sure that you're covered. That's not called a suffix deraisa l'chumer. That's called the tzarach hayom tzas. Whatever may be eaten. So he tithes, I should be permitted, he holds Allah Almighty, you should be permitted to do the bris on Yontif. The baby was born a week before Bein Hashmashes, he should be permitted to do the bris on Yontif because of the suffix. Maybe it'll hit the jackpot, maybe it will be called the meal of Bismana. Maybe Bein Hashmashes is Lila, and maybe Wednesday is the meal of Bismana, so that's Mutah. And maybe it's the meal of Shalom Bismana, in which case he's violating an Aveh. He says, no, that's Tzarech HaYom Tzas. But none of the Rishonim say that. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam in the Smag and the Smag. He admits himself against all the Rishonim. It didn't face him. He had a lot of things to say. He just disagreed with everyone.
So what's wrong with the
question? I'm not sure. Why is he wrong? Why is he wrong? I'm not sure.
If you learn because the Tzuzam Luchas Duhuo, so then that's very, maybe they don't. If you learn the reason for Yontif that you're allowed to do these things, because only Meluchas Duhuo.
Oh, yeah, but that's rejected. That's rejected.
Right.
We hold that it's based on Mitoy. Yeah. So Halacha Lamaisa, bottom line, what do we hold? We hold like Beisilo. That's clear. We're not going to pass like Beisilo. I'm passing like Beisilo. That there's not only is it permissible to do Meluchas on Yontif for the purpose of Echol Nefesh, it's even permissible at Tzarech HaYom Tzas, but we don't really follow. But what's the source of this? We don't really follow the opinion of the Raibit, because people carry Taleisim and Machzerim to Shulam Yantav. They could have easily carried it before Yantav. Again, if you don't have an Erev, if you have an Erev, you have an Erev, you can carry on Shabbos also. If you don't have an Erev, so people carry on Yantav even though they could have carried an Erev Yantav. It's not just that people do, the Ramah says. The Ramah says the Feresh that you're allowed to. So it's ongenomen is not like the writer.
They carried Yontif,
right? Even though they could have carried on Erev Yontif, but that was always a minig. The Ramah writes like that. That was always a minig. Yeah, that's a question of Rishonim. Some hold that to carry a lulav or a shofar for a woman is not mechuyev. That shelo l'tzarach klal. Since the women are potter, that's called shelo l'tzarach klal. And we are makel on that. We said that's a tzarech hayom tzas. If they want to volunteer to do the mitzvah, okay. So we assume leheta, but that's a tzarech hayom tzas. So again, so we don't follow that raya that is based on lachem. If it would have been based on lachem, it should have had the restriction of levado to say that it's only muter if it's the epshalasis mvodyom. So we basically follow the others, but we don't exactly follow the Rav Lezer in mitz. He said it's based on
nefesh.
Achashe yochel l'chol nefesh. Tzarchei ha-nefesh. The way he presents spiritual, so then you have to say everything is spiritual. To take a walk is also spiritual because of Simchas Yontif. He could say like that. There was one side in Tesis in Ksuvah Dav Zayin. To take a walk and to have a good time is a Tzarech HaYom Tzas, is Zaynig Yontav and Simchas Yontav, it's also spiritual. But we usually assume that that's not this far. We just hold Mutter. Somehow we hold there's a pasuk somewhere, it's a little unclear. That's why some said it must be Asvara. Because we don't follow the Ravid, we don't really follow Rav Lezer in this, that it's only spiritual. So that's what led a group of Rishonim and Achronim to say that it's a Svara, although the Svara is very not Nistar. So that's a din of mitoich. Now this din of mitoich is only such a malacha that you can sometimes figure out cooking. So cooking, you can cook food for Echol Nefesh. So you're allowed to cook also for tzarach hayom ktsas. What's an example? Take for example, the Gemara has here on the bottom, four lines from the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. A person is cooking vasa b'cholov on Yom Tov. Cook the tray for food on Yom Tov. Yeah. Cooking tray for food on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says the Halacha does not recognize this as Zeichon Evesh. Not acceptable. Tray for food. Not letting tray for food. The Halacha does not accept this as Zeichon Evesh. But Sof Kol Sof, he does plan to eat it. He's a Shegetz. He does plan to eat it. So it's called Tzarach HaYom Ktsas. Tzarach HaYom Ktsas. Official Zeichon Evesh, the original has to, they're different intent. There's a Hatter Zeichon Evesh. There's a Hatter Tzarach HaYom Ktsas. Then there's an Ishul Makshir Zeichon Evesh. Each one is different. So the official Zeichon Evesh has to be kosher food. Non-kosher food. We don't, the Halacha doesn't recognize that as Zeichon Evesh. But a Tzarach HaYom Ktsas is each person, whatever
even
he wants.
Straight.
Even if it's straight. You can't really say it's a spiritual need. Treif will be a mamis treif. So Pashup Shining Mars like that. Treif for food. So it is called, it's called Tzarach HaYom Ktsas. That's what Taisus asks on the top of Amud Beis. The guy's cooking tray for food. Yeah. What kind of tzarach? Matzarach hikam and mashal is cooking din anash. It's tray. So they say, kevin shay, b'daisha shozel yachloi, since he plans to eat it. So it's called tzarach hayom ktsas. It's not called the official loichal nefesh because it's tray. But it is tzarach hayom ktsas. So the Gemara says, one who cooked tray for food on Yontif and he planned to eat it, was he in violation of Malachas Yontif? So it depends on my shaman Yisrael. According to the Shammai, it's not Erech HaNefesh because it's straight. But according to the Yisrael, even though it's only Tzarech HaYom Ktsas, that's also grounds to be Matzah.
Why do you have to say Becherer?
Kolo. Kinnonoshe alone. Yeah, the Gemara wants to figure out how many times Malchus
is.
How many times Malchus? There's such a famous story. The Ramban had a Talmud by the name of Avner, who was Yaitzah the Tarbis Roh. He left the Jewish religion, he converted to Christianity, and then he became a Karvel HaMalchus. And then years later, after leaving the Ramban, there was always a lot of pressure to convert. After leaving the Ramban Yeshiva, once he called them to Talmud of the Ramban. Avner. So once on Yom Kippur, he sent the police to the Ramban Shul that the Ramban should appear in front of him. So the Ramban came. So he took his sword and he cut a pig, I think he killed a pig, and he cooked it in milk, and he ate it on Yom Kippur. And he asked the Ramban, how many times Malchus am I chayv? Mami, he asked him, how many times Malchus am I chayv? So the Ramban told him, a cheshbon, basa b'cholav, and the veilim, whatever, he made a whole cheshbon what it was. So he disagreed with the Ramban. So they started to pilfer back and forth. So in the middle of the debate, so the Ramban said, Shegetz, have the acheres, I'm your Rebbe. Middle, I'm Yom Kippur. So the Ramban asked him, Meshuggah, why did you become a Meshuggah? What's the matter with you? Why did you become a Meshuggah? So he said it always bothered him. The Ramban used to say that if you look in Hazinu, you can read the whole history of the world, the whole history of Klal Yisrael, and the whole history of all the individuals. So he says he couldn't believe it. How can it be then in Shiras Hazinu, the Ramban HaChumash writes, Shiras Hazinu, the Shiras Hazinu is going to be an aid about everything that's going to happen in the future. Says if you know how to read it straight, it has everything. So he said. So he said he can't believe it. So he said, what's so difficult to believe? What do you want me to? What do you want to look for? And I'll tell you where to find it. So he said, all right. Where are my merumas? Fine. My name is Avner. Where do I appear? Ramban sat down for a few minutes and he started mishing, and he came upon the pasuk that says, Amarti afehem ashbisa mien zichlam. I don't understand the whole story, but that's how they quote in the history books, that the third letter in each word spells out the name Avner. Afeim, Aleph, Tei, Aleph. So the third letter is an Aleph, Hashbisa, Aleph, Shin, Beis. The third letter is a Beis. Mei Enosh, the third letter is a Nun, and Zichon. Shai. So somehow the Talmud was very spoiled, so he says, he does tshuva. Shai. I don't know why. He did tshuva. The Rebbe is right. Everything is merumen. So yes, what should I do for tshuva? What should I do to have a cup of... Apparently Ramban, in history books, they don't tell the whole story. Apparently he must have given him a lot of musa. So after he showed him what he was merumen, so he said, what should I do to gain a kapara? So he said, that pasuk should be your kapara. You should disappear. Amarti afeim ashbis me'anish. Disappear. Run away. He said, how can I do tshuva? He's a... court of la malchus. He works for the king, works for the government. So he said, run away and disappear. So the story goes that a day or two later, he went on a cruise and he disappeared and he never came back alive. And they say had a cholim that his boat sank and his tshuva was accepted. That's how they say the story. So that whole story about killing, he killed the pig on Yom Kippur and he cooked it, that's all based on this Gemara. That's all based on this Gemara. Gemara has... Yeah, well, that was Yom Kippur. I think that story was Yom Kippur. The Gemara here talks about Tzarech HaYom. Eating grapes on Yom Kippur. And his story was on Yom Kippur. So he was debating with the Rebbe, how many... Isa Chalal Isa. How many times Malkus would he get? So that's the Gemara. See, the Gemara, this whole stugya starts off with a brisa. Tani Tan, right after the Mishnah. Tani Tane Kameh de Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Abdini. They used to have Amora, there's not a Tana, there's an Amora who recites brises. That Amoraim who used to say Agaritas, Darshonim. That's Rabbonim de Agaritas. Then they had Amoraim who used to analyze Mishnayim, to discuss what's Pshat in the Mishnah. Then they had Chachomim in the days of the Amoraim who used to recite brises. There are millions and millions of brises that were never included in the Mishnah. So Tani Tane, an Amora whose job it was to recite brises is called the Tana. So one of these Amoraim recited the brise in the presence of the Amora Bitzchok Bar Abdin. A brise reads as follows: Shochet Oilus Nedova Biyontif Loike. That the Heta Shchita is the Hamalacha. Shochet is one of the Lametes of his Malachas until it's Neshama. So the korban is that is manam kavua the tmidim umusafim. You're allowed to do on Shabbos, let alone Yom Tov. Of course, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. An oilas, each one of the shalosh regalim. The Gemara Chagiga quotes a Tosefta in the first parak. Gimel mitzvahs nitztav yisrael bali osam laregel. When the yidna are laregel on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, they're obligated to bring three korbanos. An oilas riya, it says. They're not allowed to visit the Azara without bringing a korban. That refers to Oilas Riyah. Then they have to bring Shalom Chagigah V'chagoysim Oysa Chag L'Hashem. Doesn't mean you should celebrate a holiday. The word V'chagoysim, Chag means a korban Chagigah. Chagigah is a Shlomim and Shalom Chagigah. So they have to be makar the Shalom Chagigah. It doesn't mean every single person has to pay for an Oilas Riyah Shalom Chagigah. You can get 25 people together, become Shutzvim. They'll bring one Oilas Riyah, they bring one Shalom Chagigah. The Mishnah says it all depends how much you can afford. If you can't afford it, so go be Shutzvim with other people. If you can afford it, so bring more. It depends how many children do you have. The Mishnah says, let's say there's a couple, a husband and a wife, that have no children, and they're very wealthy. So let them bring a lot of Oilas Riyah. The oil is all burned. Shalom Chagigah, they don't have anybody to give it to, so it'll become nicer. So let them only have Yaitzit Zayim, they'll bring one Shalom Chagigah, and let them take it for Ish Kemat and Siyadik, give more Eilis Riyah, give less Shalom Chagigah. And if they're poor and they have a lot of children, so let them do Fakir, let them bring a lot of Shalom Chagigah, and let them less Eilis Riyah, let them become Shutfim with another 50 people on an Eilis Riyah. That's how the Mishnah says in Chagigah, in the first part in Chagigah. So there are three korbanos. You have to bring an Oilas Riyah, that's Leiro Fanai Reikam. You have to bring Shal Mechagigah. The Chagos Mos, the Chag Lashem, doesn't mean to celebrate. It means you should celebrate by bringing Shal Mechagigah. And then there's a Shal Mechimcha. That's another korban. You have to eat. The Shal Mechagigah, you have to be the Bala korban. You don't have to eat it. Normally you're going to eat it, but you can give it to other people to eat. But on Yom Tov, you're supposed to have Shal Mechimcha. Even a person is a vegetarian all year long, Pesach Atanish Kembreira. Pesach Nari has to eat the flesh and choke on it, whether he likes it or not. Shabbos, if he doesn't enjoy, let him eat milchiks. It says in Shulchan Aruch that if you have people who enjoy fasting better than eating, so for them they can be Mekayim Oinik Shabbos by fasting. They won't have Shalashudas, but they're not Mechayim to have Shalashudas, it says. It's by them they enjoy, if there are, there used to be such people, they enjoyed, they had more hanah from fasting than from eating, so let them fast on Shabbos. So let's say some people, they don't enjoy fleshiks. They want to be vegetarian. So let them not have. Let them not have flesh. If they don't enjoy it, so let them not milk it. Yom Tov is a shayla. Yom Tov is a shayla because Yom Tov is not only a chiyuv oineg, kiba v'yoneg is Shabbos on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov there's a chiyuv simcha. So that's a deal in Poskim. Oineg Shabbos is determined subjectively. Whatever you enjoy, that's called oineg. If you don't enjoy flesh, so you're not going to choke on it. But the shaila is, what about simchas yontif? Maybe simcha is determined objectively. Maybe the halacha requires basa v'yayin, even if you're going to choke on it, even if you can't stand. So that's a shaila. That's a shaila. Well, that's a machlokes in achrayim. There are more. And his commentary on the tour quotes the Zarkin Moshe on the bottom of the tour quotes the Maharil and others. They have a whole pilful about that. Well, the Moshe, that's a shaila like this. Let's say a person, somebody died in the family, and the person is so distraught, he's so aggravated, he wants to cry in order to get it out of his system. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're permitted to cry on Shabbos. If crying will release his aggravation, he's allowed to cry. And on Yontif, that's a shaila. Maybe because Yontif has a chiyuv simcha, so maybe simcha is determined objectively, not determined by each person subjectively. So that's a shaila in halacha. That's a deal in poskim, whether simcha is also determined subjectively the same as Zaynagana. So that's a shaila. So on Pesach, whether you enjoy fleshiks or not, you have to eat a kazayis of the korban. So don't eat a half a bema, just eat a kazayis and finish. And on Yontif, that's a diyun in poskim, whether you mechuyif to have flesh or not. The Mishnah Berurah says the Gemara really says like this. The Gemara says, this mantra based on Mikdash Kain name Simcha Ela B'Tsar Shlomim. The only way to fulfill the Samachta B'Chagecha Simcha is by having B'Tsar HaKorbonis. That's what it says in the Gemara. So even if you don't enjoy flesh, you're supposed to eat HaKazayis, like on Pesach, eat a Kazayis. This man says that there's no Beis Hamik, no Korbonis, ain't Simcha Ela B'Yayin. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Machlekes Achreinim, which is a Machlekes Rishonim. How do you read the Gemara? This man says that there's no Shlomim, so you don't need flesh at all? You don't have to have flesh at all? It's substituted by Yayin? Or does it mean no? This man said Beis Mikdash Kain, there was no need for Yayin, all you need was Shlomim. Eat the Besara Kalbanis. This man says the flesh is not enough. You have to have bus of the yayin. So that's a machlokes. What if a person wants to have milchiks on Yontif? He doesn't enjoy flesh. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the machlokes. The last page in Chelek Hei, Mishnah Berurah, the siman that talks about Simchas Yontif. So he claims that most of the poskim hold that you don't have to have fleshiks bizman hazeh. That's the shavu. Let's say a chasana. Is there anything wrong with having a milchik chasana? Or bris? Is there anything wrong with having a milchik bris? A bris is a suda's bris milah, is supposed to be an expression of the simcha, and the chasana is supposed to be a sheva brachas. Also supposed to be it's a suda's mitzvah to express the simcha on the occasion of the chasana. So do you say ein simcha le bebosta? You have to have fleshiks for the bris, and you have to have fleshiks for the chasana and for the sheva brachas. So do you say no? Ein simcha le beyayin. Wine you do have to have. You have to have wine on all the tables. By a bris and by a chasen. Everybody should have wine. But the shad is they also have to have fleshiks or not. So that's the machlokes that the Mishnah Berurah quotes.
Shvi is the
Ramah says you're supposed to have milchiks and fleshiks. You're supposed to have both. The fleshiks for the fleshiks for the simcha, and then the milchiks for the other reasons. Whatever the other reasons are.
The daytime.
One meal should be the daytime.
No, it should be the daytime.
If you have Kvod Yom versus Kvod Laila, if it's a toss-up, you only want to have fleshiks one meal or the other, so which meal should you have the more elaborate meal if people enjoy the fleshiks more than the milchiks? So then the Gemara says the Kvod Yom takes precedence over Kvod Laila. The Mogen Avrom quotes the Zohar, says Faket, that Kvod Laila is other than Kvod Yom. But the Gemara, the Nigla, it says that Kvod Yom is other than Kvod Laila. Right, if you have a special delicacy. Should you have it, let's say you have chopped liver for one meal for the first course, and then you fill the fish the other meal for the first course. So whichever the family enjoys more, the chopped liver or the gefilte fish, that should be served by Yom. According to the Gemara, because the Kvod Yom, or it's Mikvod Laila. You should have the Suda by Yom, should be more Bikovadik than the Suda by Laila. It's a further machlok. It's on the assumption that you need, on Shabbos, there's no din of simcha, there's only a din of oineg, so chicken is good. But on Yontif, when there's a din of simcha, so that's a machlok, it's a poskin. Do you need that? Is it judged subjectively or objectively? And according to the position that the halacha says, even if you choke on it, you have to eat this flesh. But that's a shaila whether chicken is good or not. So some poskim say that no, Some people say it has to be dafka flesh. That's why by chasana, some insist dafka on flesh, that chicken is not enough. And if it's too expensive, it's much more expensive to have flesh than to have chicken. So the Gerer Rebbe, before the Second World War, I'm not sure who was who, so he wrote the tshuva, so he wrote, at least he should have a minyan mitzumtzum. At least they should serve flesh for 10 of the guests, and the other guests should have chicken. At least to have a minyan, having the real McCoy, to have the real simcha by the house. So again, so on Shalosh Shigolim, you have to bring... What about women? On Yom Tov, you mean?
No, he says this together, you have to have 10. Five men.
Oh no, it's a good question.
Husband and wife both
of them. I don't know.
But by Miguel, women are a little
better than me. Now the Balei Atayshin say the women do not make up a minyan. They may Achrayim say maybe yes, but the Balei Atayshin said the women do not make up a minyan for making Miguel. Somehow that's a source that everybody leaves out. All the people collecting all the sources, they conveniently left out that source. So the Balei Atayshin said the favorite, that 10 women do not constitute Mikan Megillah B'tzvi.
Oh,
yeah.
Huh? 10 women alone.
10 women alone, yeah. Yeah, 10 men. No, they say no. 5 and 5 is no good. It has to be 10 men. That's how the Balei Atayshin say that. 10 women is not called Mikan Megillah B'yochid, but it's not Mikan Megillah B'tzvi. Anyway, so getting back over here. So on Yom Tov, let's say the first day Pesach, the first day Shavuot, first day Sukkot, he's supposed to bring a Shalmei Chagiga and a Shalmei Simcha. What about Oilas Riya? Oilas Riya. You're mechuyev to bring an Oilas Riya, but the Shaila is, you don't eat it. It's a malacha, you're going to shecht it and you're going to burn it on the Mizbeach. Like a lot of Duna Malachas, if it's not going to lead up to Echon Nefesh, but that's a machlokes b'sham and b'sila later in the Masechta. Is it permissible to bring an oilas choiva, an oilas riya, on the first day Yontif? So we pass like the b'sila that it is permissible. On the first day Yontif, you don't have to wait till Chol Moed. Even on Yontif, you're permitted to bring the shalmei chagiga, the shalmei simcha that you eat, and even the oilas riya also. But what if it's not even an oilas riya? An oilas riya, you become yeroi kol zuchuch, you have to visit the Azara. We'll let you roll fun I reckon, you're not allowed to visit without bringing an oilas riya. What if it's glatan oilas nadova? The guy said a neder, hurry alai oilo. When it comes yonte, you have to bring the oilo. So in addition to the oilas riya that he has to bring, l'shem shalosh regalim, he has to bring a fourth carbon, an oilas nadova that he pledged to give. So that for sure you're not permitted to bring on yonte. So what if the fella goes ahead and he's makriv an oilas nadova on yonte? So that's what the Brisa discusses. Would he get Malkus or not? Tani Tanik Hamed Rabitzke Barav Dimi. One of the Amoraim who was in the habit of reciting Brises presented such a Brise. The Brise runs as follows: Hashoychet Oilas Nedova B'Yontif.
Wait.
He does the Malacha on Yontif. He had no heter. He shechts an Oilas Nedova B'Yontif. So the din is that he's loike. Why? Because he violated an Nisa Malacha. There's no heter Echal Nefesh.
Right.
He's not going to eat an Oila. An Oila, the Kula Cholos. The whole thing is burnt on the Mizbeach. Nobody's going to eat anything. So there's no heter Echal Nefesh. So
but according to Beis Shammai, it should be even on Oila Sriya, it shouldn't be allowed to shecht on Yom Tov.
According to Beis Shammai Taki, you're not allowed to bring an Oila Sriya either. And
so what's the...
Taisis Teas Takasha. Taisis Teas Takasha. Why does it say Oila? No, they give a whole complicated answer. Yeah. The end of it, the first Taisis. To give it with the yukin, it's not a non halachic answer. So if it would have said like this, it would have made a mistake. You know, anachanamit to say. So the brayser said the din is that this is lachala days. You're not allowed to bring an oilas nedove. A person pledges harei alai oila unrelated to shalom shagol. For sure, you're not allowed to bring that on yontif. How do you know you're not allowed to bring that on yontif? Why not?
It's not an Aruch HaNefesh.
I let it be Tzarach HaYom Ktzas. He wants to do a mitzvah.
It has to be some Lachem. There's no Lachem at all.
No, why does it have to be Lachem? Not a Chayv HaSayim. Oh, that's not a Chayv HaSayim. The only time you say a Tzarach HaYom Ktzas is Tzarach HaYom.
That's an Oilas Riya.
An Oilas Riya. Okay, Oilas Riya. You're today to bring an Oilas Riya. Shalosh Rigol. But an Oilas Nedove, nothing special about today. Okay, good. So that for sure you're not allowed to bring.
What if it's the third holiday and he's got to bring it?
Then I think the Niri Taka says you may. In order not to violate, if already the third Yantav is going to violate Baal Ta'acher, then I think he says he's allowed. He always has Chalamayim. He always has Chalamayim, but if he really doubts, he didn't know Chalamayim either. He's holding Nashmi Atzeres.
No, Shavuos is the last day.
Shavuos. Let's say Shavuos is the last Yantav. It's already
said.
It was Sukkot and Pesach, and Shavuos is the third regal, and Shavuos, that's it. Either he brings it today or he violates Baal Ta'acher. So the Niri Taka says that you're allowed to.
What about the rest of the fur, the body cover?
You don't get the fur either. He doesn't have the fur.
He doesn't need anything. There's no echel nefesh.
But he can use it to wear.
The Kohanim get the Or HaOyla goes to the Kohen who does the Avayim.
It has a purpose.
Yeah, but that's not an echel nefesh. The echel nefesh is to eat the food. To eat the food, yeah.
Why can't he bring it, why can't he bring it 7 days after,
There is a din of Tashlum, and yet, the sixth...
Honestly,
yeah, that's a din of Tashlum. The next 6 days following Shavuos, if you didn't bring the Oyla Sviya, you can bring it for the next 6 days. But you're still in violation of Baal Ta'acher. If the guy took a neder... Before
Sukkot,
it's only considered like part of Shavuos with respect to the Tashlumin. That's all. Respect to the Oyla Sviya. Not for Baal Ta'acher. Not for Baal Ta'acher. The guy took a neder to bring a korban before Sukkot, and he didn't bring Sukkot, and he didn't bring Pesach, and he didn't bring Erev Shavuos. And then today Shavuos, as soon as Pesach Tehom is going to come, he will be in violation of Baal Ta'acher. So the Niri says in such a case, it's like a korban shezman kavua. Yeah, he says that then it's taka chayvus hayam. Then it's a chayvus hayam.
No.
Malchus, he can never have Baal Ta'acher because it's always a lav shein bo maisa. The violation is accomplished by non-activity, by non-doing.
How does he rectify? Bring another carbon?
No, he's still mechuyev to bring the carbon. If you wait till
it's done,
it remains. There's no way to undo it.
Why is that different than from Lulav? It's also a chavis hayyam which falls on a Shabbos. Where Shabbos holds, you can't carry it. Not allowed to carry it. Right? I know it's from Lulav. It's also a chavis. The chavis hayyam of Rishon.
But it's not melecha. It's not melecha.
But he can bench lulav at home. He can bench lulav at home. They don't. He's not allowed to carry it in the street to shul. Yeah. Let him not carry. He's not allowed to carry. But here, if he's not going to bring the carbon today, he'll be in violation of Baal Ta'acher. So the Niri claims. One can argue with the Niri. I mean, you can say it's still not a chayvus hayayim because he took a neder. He made it in such a way that now it turns out that there's no other opportunity for him. He made it into Chavos Hayom. Allah didn't declare it as a Chavos Hayom because he took a neder before Sukkot and it went Sukkot and then Pesach and then Shavuos. So for him, it's a Chavos Hayom. So you can think so, but that's what the Niri
wrote. The concept of masquerade from Ochal Nefesh, the fact that you can have done it before Shabbos, which you can't do it on Shabbos. With respect to the Niri, because you had about 9 months to do it, why should you be able to do it on
Shavuot?
So that's what we just said. So there's room to disagree with the Niri. Okay. Yeah. The Niri has a Chiddush, and one can bring it up with the Niri. Okay. So let's go again. So let's see. Tani Tana, someone recited the following Bryce. If you shecht an oilus nedover, everybody, Beila Beishamid, Beila Mesilla, you're not allowed to offer an oilus nedover on Yontif. An oilus choiva, an oilus riya, that's a machlek is b'shamim b'sil the second parak. Are you allowed to shecht oil sviya? Because oil sviya you mechuyev lo yirov fanai rekem. You mechuyev today to bring it. So b'shamim say you're not allowed to. There's no echal nefesh. B'sil say no. That's like a korban shezman kavua. B'shamim say no. You have tashlumin. Even shavuos you have tashlumin. You can always bring an etni yantim. So don't bring an onion. But an oil as nedove glad the person said harei al oil. Then they all agreed. Then b'shamim b'sil. You're not allowed to bring an anyanta. What if he goes and he violates the din, and he goes and he shechts an anyanta? So he recited a brisa, somebody recited a brisa, that you get malchus. Homale, so Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi reacts right away. The homalachmane b'shamahi, your brayse is shaloi kalocha. It only followed the opinion of b'shamahi. The Amri, they think le'amina mitoch shutro etzoch huchanami shalol etzoch. They don't believe in mitoch. But according to Beisilo, the din would be that he's ain't a like. Why the ile Beisilo? According to Beisilo, ha'amri, they say mitoch shutro etzoch letzoroch. Just like Basil will say that by carrying, since sometimes you're permitted to carry food to the sukkah,
yeah,
or whatever, chicken to the shaykhah, so that you can carry, for example, you can carry also the baby and the lulav and so on. So here also, hachanami, I should say, mitoich is not only a din in carrying, it should be a din in omalochim, mitoich shiutra shchita, since to shech the chicken on yontav in order to eat it would be permissible. So netilas neshama shchita is muta letzorach achol nefesh, which renami shalol letzorach achol nefesh, as long as there's a tzorach hayom kitzas. And what pray tell is the tzorach hayom kitzas?
Yeah.
What's the tzorach hayom kitzas?
Because he's already in Beis
Hamikdash.
Because he's already in Beis
Hamikdash.
What's the tzarach hayom tzas? Why?
This is the malach gevura.
This is forget it. We don't talk about the two different things.
Malach gevura, they ignore.
They ignore that.
You're right. It's a taina. They ignore that. See, this malach gevura, Tosfos pointed it out, it usually has consequences and insignificant things. Sometimes it's a matter of life and death. I mean, by hoitzor you'll be potter, by others you'll be chay. But usually it's on nitty gritty details, not on anything really major. That's why it was a pella what the Chelkas Yoav said. He himself said it's a pella. Itiru sefer mishim tchilasam, you're only matter by malocha derais, by hoitzor, not by the others, because malocha grew. So he himself didn't like it. He said, if any of the readers have a better suggestion, they should send him a letter and he'll be happy to back out, happy to print it the next edition. So no one came up with a good answer there. So to say over here that mitoch is only hoitzor, that's very shvei. The Gemara seems to assume mitoch should apply to any malacha that sometimes is mutter for echal nefesh. Moshe Taisus and Shabbos has the kasha, and that's Tzadik Dalet. Taisus has the famous kasha. Let's say a guy's sukkah fell down. A guy's sukkah fell down on Yontif. Is he allowed to build a sukkah up on Yontif? Why not? Mitoch. He needs a sukkah. He needs, let's say there's no sukkah. No sukkah in the whole area. He needs a sukkah on Yontif. He should be permitted to build a sukkah on Yontif. Mitoch. It's muta for echal nefesh. It's for Tzarech HaYom Tzach. So Taisus says, no, wait a minute. You have to word the kasha properly. Taisus gives you a whole hakdoma. Bone is bone. When you build a sukkah, is bone. Bang nails. And you do a real bone. A real mekoy. Bone. Is bone ever muta for echal nefesh? If bone is sometimes muta for echal nefesh, then you can say, not only is it muta for echal nefesh, muta for Tzarech HaYom Tzach. Is bone ever muta? So Taisus words the kasha like this. The Gemara says that if you make cheese on Shabbos, it's a malacha deraisa bone. If you take milk and you separate the particles and you make cheese out of it, that's a malacha deraisa bone. Hamegabein the Shabbos chai mishum bone. So Taisus says, what about making cheese on Yontif? So the Gemara says you're not allowed to, because if you would have made the cheese on Erev Yontif, would have even tasted better. But Taisus can't believe that that's a reason to ask them in Atera. It's a chachal nefesh. If he wants cheese on Yontif, so you're going to say it's an Issa Deraisa. One Taisus, Mishnah Berurah points out, one Taisus in Megillah, Dav Zayin on the base, says that to make cheese on Yontif is an Issa Deraisa. Since if you would have made the cheese on Erev Yontif, it would have tasted better. So it's forbidden in Atera to make cheese on Yontif. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. Mishnah Berurah says that that's an odd opinion. That's a Yotzei from the Geshita. The main sheet is that it's muta min atar to make cheese on Yom Tovech on Nefesh, and it's only forbidden with the Rabban. But min atar it's muta. Oh, so Taisus rolls up the sleeves. Now we have a kasha. Since bone is sometimes muta on Yom Tovech for the purpose of Ochal Nefesh, namely, to make cheese, if bone would never be muta on Yom Tovech for Ochal Nefesh, then you can't ask a kasha mitach. Each and every malacha, you have to investigate separately. If hoitzor sometimes muta for Ochal Nefesh, then you can carry the baby to the park. If bishul is muta for echal nefesh, then you can cook tray for food also, because tzarech hayom tzas. So here the Gemara says, if what is it?
Shchita.
If shchita is muta for echal nefesh, I want to eat the chicken, so it should be muta for tzarech hayom tzas to shecht and oilas nedov. Yeah, but the question is, what's the Tzarach HaYom Ktzas? Why does he want to bring the Oilus and Dover today? I know why. He wants to skedaddle right after Yom Tov. He doesn't want to stay. He doesn't want to take another day off from work. He wants to leave a Cholamoy. So that's not a Tzarach HaYom Ktzas, a Brentnisht. So that's what the Gemara says later in Beitza. So the Gemara has an expression. It's not Berachevit Shaloi Hei Shulchan Chamole the Shulchan Rabach Reiko. I have, I'm eating and fasting a whole day Yom Tov. I have chickens and I have kuglin and cholent and everything. And then after the Baruch Shalom on the Beis HaMikdash, there's nothing doing on the Mizbeach. They're only giving Tznidim and Musafim and that's all. A couple of Oilus Nedove, a couple of Oilus Riyah, a couple of Shalmich Hagigah. So the Gemara has such a consideration. Shalai Hei Shulchan Chamole the Shulchan Rabach Reik, and he feels uncomfortable. He's eating and drinking and he's bringing very little on the Mizbeach. So it would make him happier, he would feel better if he can bring an oilless nedov on Yom Tov. That's what motivates him. So that's called the Tzarach HaYom. That's what Tosis explains based on the Gemara later. That's the Tzarach HaYom Ktzas. What motivates him to bring the oilless nedov, he's not allowed to do it. He's not allowed to bring the oilless nedov. But what motivated him to do it was this Tzarach HaYom, Shalai Hei Shulchan Chomole, the Shulchan Rabach Reikon. So the Braisa says to get Malkis, if you do it, what happened to Mito? So that's where Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi says your brayis is shalei kalach. It's only according to Beis Shammai who don't believe in mitoich. But the way we pass him like Beis Hillel that there is a din of mitoich, so since shchita would be mutter for echam nefesh mamish, so if I have a tzarach hayam tzah shalei hei shalchan chamalei, you wouldn't get malchus. But it sounds like it would be forbidden anyway. Why would it be forbidden if it's mitoich is mutter? Why is it forbidden if it's mitoich? The Taisa says, no, forbidden is forbidden for sure. There's a pasuk, lachem. Hu levado yiyasa lachem, and we have three drashas on lachem. So Gemara later. We have three drashas on lachem. Lachem lo liyakum, you're not allowed to do malacha for a nochri. Lachem lo lebehema, you're not allowed to carry food. On yontif, you're going to carry food to the zoo to feed the animal. So the kids go on chalamoid and they feed the shmur matzah to the elephants. That's chalamoid. That's okay. But to carry it on yontif, that's lachem below the beima. You're not permitted to do malach on yontif for the beima. So we've darshan three miutim. Lachem below the yakum. You're not allowed to carry. You're not allowed to do malach on yontif for the nafri. You're not allowed to carry or do malach for the beima. So lachem below la gavoa. You're not allowed to do a malacha on yontif for the sake of korbanos with the rabban shalom. You're not allowed to. So Taisa says, no. If you say it's forbidden lachem alola gavoa, you're not allowed to. So let him get malchus. So let him get malchus. How did the Gemara dispense with the malchus? So Taisa says, no. That's only an iser essay. Lachem alola yakum, lachem alola gavoya. Let's say I cook for a nachri. I did wrong. But Taisa says I won't get malchus. Sof kol sof it is eichel nefesh. A person is eating it. Even if I cook for behema, carry for the elephants in the zoo, it's also eichel nefesh. It's just lachem v'lo leklovim for the behemas. There's an iseresi, but there's no malchus. So Taisa says macharish lachem v'lo lagavoya. All the three lachems, it's only an iseresi. It's not an isalav, and it doesn't be. And it's not that if it's not lachem, if it's laakum or leklovim or lagavoya, then it doesn't fall under the heter of eichel nefesh. You don't say like that. You don't say that's what Taisus coined the term. Hadri li yisurikama. It goes back to the original category and it's a blight on isa malacha. No. They say you have an isa malacha, then you have a heter eichel nefesh. Then you have an exception to the. You have a rule. Malacha is also. Then you have an exception to the rule, a heter eichel nefesh. Then you have an exception to the exception. So when you have an exception to the exception of the rule, does it go back into the rule? You say, lochem lo liyakum, lochem lo leklovim, lochem lo lagavoya. Does it go back into the original lava of malacha? You say, no! The lava of malacha was lifted because of Seichel Nefesh. Somebody's going to eat it. Achilas Mizbeach, the Mizbeach is going to eat it. Achilas Sotam, Achilas Beima, someone's going to eat it. So that lifts the Yisr malacha of Yontif. But it's an Yisr Esti alachem. So that's what Taisa says. For this Gemara, you see, no one said it's Mutter to Shechter, listen to the Ferish that it's Osir. It says in the next parak it's also to Shechter, listen to it. But Malchus you wouldn't get. It's only an Isaresa.
The Gavoya is not the same thing like the Hema and Akum. Because the boy, he's doing it for himself. He doesn't feel good if he's still
a Goa.
But it's not like a Goa. Goa is not getting anything. I mean, what
well, you're burning it. It's called Achilles Mizbeah.
But Rashi is doing it for his own emotional feeling.
It's emotional, but not for eating.
Why do you make the same question by Makshira? You can just say the same thing. It's Google of Makshira. It is an easy to do it. So, and then... And there should be a heter, which is an awful matter, of Mikal, excuse me, because of Mikal. There should be exactly the same thing.
That's a big... That the Mishnah Berurah asked that question, and he doesn't really give an answer. Why shouldn't all Makhshirin be considered Mitoch? Why shouldn't it be a Tzarech HaMitzvah? A guy needs a fork and a knife. So why shouldn't it be Mitoch? So the way we said over the Tesis and Shabbat that Tzarech HaMitzvah, the Kasha never gets off the ground. Because Meitach and Mana is never Mutar Ferech HaMitzvah. Where do you ever have Tesis?
You can't buy the chicken on Yantar.
Huh?
You can't buy the chicken on Yantar.
You can never have Tesis claims. You don't have to say like Tesis, but Tesis assumes that that's the Pirush Amidrash. Mitoch shehutra any malacha. You don't just say we have one heter echonavish, another heter tzachay avtzas, another heter. No, Tesis says when any malacha that has a heter echonavish also has another heter of tzachay avtzas. But if a malacha, you can never imagine in your wildest dreams a heter echonavish on the second malacha. How can you have a lunch? Then there's no heter mitoch. So if you say like this, then the whole kasha doesn't get off the ground. The Mishnah Berurah is bothered with the kasha. The Rav, when he gave shiurim on Megillah, I think, I remember, the Rav was working on the kasha, he didn't have a teretz. He said the kasha, and he said he doesn't know the answer. Why shouldn't all machshirin be mutter based on Tzarech HaYom Ktzas? It's a very good kasha. Okay.
The Mishnah Berurah mentions over and over again that the reason why we don't allow it is because we don't want the wives to be matriarch with cooking, they themselves should enjoy Yom Kippur. So cooking, you have to cook. But to buy the stuff in advance or anything from the Rishon before, Mishnah Berurah mentioned that, as I recall, and we don't want people to buy themselves, refrain from enjoying some Kippur. They shouldn't spend the entire time on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, this is the way you're presenting it sounds like a consideration de Rabbana.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a dinda, right? You're right. That's the reason.
Right.
Right. Whatever malacha could have been done before Yantar, you're not allowed to do on Yantar. Right. But here we're dealing with dinim deraisa.
Okay.
Remember the Rav used to hold drushes. I remember more than once, and in several places in his writings, he has this fascinating comment. He writes a sharp lashon that just like Parshas Mishpatim is full of dinim, Parshas Kiseitze and Parshas Re'ei, every pasuk is another mitzvah, another din. So to Parshas Bereishis. What is there? Just pure Berivia? What more? No. The whole Parshas Bereishis, a little bit Shabbos? Okay, yeah. He says, no, Parshas Bereishis, the whole Parshas Bereishis is all halacha. How is it halacha? He says, "V'halachta b'drocha." You have to go in the ways of Hashem, Dachi Hashem. So the Torah describes that the Rabbani Shel Olam is creative and original, and he produces and he invents and so on. So whoever was blessed with talents, if someone has musical talents to compose, or someone has talents in the area of medicine to develop a cure for a disease, or someone has he can invent a fax machine, or he can invent an airplane, or a radio, or whatever, television, whatever. Whatever you can invent, whatever you can discover to conquer the world, adarabha, this is v'halachta b'drocha. So the Rabbani Shel Olam describes the way he was all creative and so on, that we should learn zachais from him. So we should also be creative. And then we have a medrash from Chazal. This already doesn't say mefurish in the psukim, but Chazal read it in between the lines in the psukim. That the Rabbani Shel Olam was Bari Olamis and Machrivan. He created one world and he didn't like it, and he destroyed it, created another world. What do you mean he created a world, he didn't like it, he destroyed it? The Rabbana Chumash asked, what does it mean Kitayv? Ayarakim Kitayv. By a boss of a dom, everybody has chalaimis. I'm going to get married and I'm going to have so many children, we're going to move to Eretz Yisrael. Everybody has chalaimis, and then it never, usually it never happens. Never materializes like that. But if the Rabbani Shel Olam, whatever he wants, that's what happens. So if he would have a rutzen, he wants to have a beautiful world, it would come into existence, a beautiful world. So what does it mean? Bayar lekim kitay? He passed judgment. Oh, it turned out nice. What do you mean it turned out nice? If he wanted it to be a nice world, it would be nice. If he does want it to be nice, it won't be nice. But the Rabbana Chumash works on that. So So he says, no, it doesn't mean Vayalakim Kitayv. He's judging that it turned out nice. He was happy. The way of course it's going to turn out nice. And Baruch Hashem says, no, the Balatanya has also Arichas on this. Vayalakim Kitayv is a Tzivoy Hashem that it should continue to exist in the same state. If the Rebbeinu Shlom would have only said Yihyor, life would have come into existence for a split second, then it would disappear again. Everything the Baruch Shlom would give it Tzivoy. So if there would only be one, the Teva Ha'olam was that nothing exists. And the Baruch Shlom is changing the Teva, he brings things into existence, so it will come into existence, then it will flop back into its non-existence, the state of non-existence.
Right.
So the Baruch Shlom had to say, Ki Toiv, I want everything to remain the same. He's not passing a judgment. Of course it's going to be nice. So the Kasha is obvious. How can the Medrash say that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Borei Olamos Machrivan, created a world, it didn't like it, created another world, didn't like it, till he finally created this world. This world is so beautiful, what's so wonderful about it. What did he like about the other world of Manasseh? Yeah. If he wanted to be a nice world, it would be Kitov in the first place. So that's what the Rav said. The Rav has it in one of his writings like that. Sometimes the Chumash describes the Rebbeinu Shel Olam as doing things, like it says, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam rested up on Shabbat. What do you mean he rested up?
He didn't work so hard.
He was a Ratz Hashem. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the Rebbeinu wrote about himself, it's really not accurate. It's not a lie, but it's not exactly accurate that he relaxed on Shabbos. He wasn't resting, he wasn't relaxing. So why did he write it in such an inaccurate form? To teach us a lesson how we should act, that we shouldn't be workaholics, we should rest a little bit. What do you mean? Because there's a din v'halachta b'drocha, we have to go in the ways of Hashem. So sometimes the whole Tanakh is written to describe to us what are the ways of Hashem. Chumash tells you the dinim, and then the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim and certain sections of the Chumash, where they're not giving boom 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 nachadin, is describing where the Baruch Shalom runs his business. What is it our Eisik Tanah, how he runs business? We have to go v'halachta b'drocha in his ways. So it says, it's a little inaccurate. It says he relaxed on Shabbos to teach us. That's what we should emulate him. We should emulate the way he described that he did something. So the Midrashim read in between the lines. He created many other worlds and he destroyed them. Created, destroyed, till he finally came to this world. What did he do that for? Hechted the Atzmo. So the Rav has this. He wrote about himself that he did something, and that it was a failure, and he did it again to teach us that if we were failures in life, we shouldn't give up and say that's it, too late on this, right, already. Yeah. Try again. Even later in life you can try another career, and if that doesn't work out, try another career. The Medrash says he created so many worlds, and each time he was unhappy, kept on trying anew. So that's what the Rav has in a few places in his printed Roshas. But I remember he used to say that Baal Peh, Parshas Bereishis is full of halachot describing the way all of us have an obligation, the way the Rebbeinu Shalom is creative and original and constructive and doing. All of us have a chiyuv, whatever area. It's in Torah, it's in Torah. If it's in science, in science. In music, in arts, whatever. Whatever. We left off, oops, we covered a lot of the tesis. We left off in the tesis on Testament Aleph. I think maybe just, at least temporarily, we'll see, maybe we'll skip till Yud Beis Amud Aleph. In between Daf Tes and Yud Beis is important also, but that's more important. Yud Beis Amud Aleph is more important. It's more interesting and it's more important. Yeah.
On
Yud Beis Amud Aleph.
Mishnah.
Yud Beis Amud Aleph is the famous machlokes b'sham and b'sul. The Chumash says that you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov. The difference is, and on Yom Tov there's a heter reich on nefesh, and on Shabbos there's no heter reich on nefesh. What? How far does the heter reich on nefesh go? So b'sham and reich on nefesh is food. You're only allowed to do malacha. You're allowed to light the fire, you're allowed to cook the food, you're allowed to carry the food into the sukkah, you're permitted to do malachas, you're allowed to shech the beima, you're allowed to salt the flesh, you're allowed to do whatever malachas are necessary to prepare food. But what about to carry talis to shul on Yom Tov that has nothing to do with food, that has to do with davening, carrying a lulav to shul on Yom Tov, carry a sefer Torah to shul on Yom Tov, so it has nothing to do with food. So they shari hold that you're not allowed. And they still disagrees, and we pass like they still. So that's the machlegis. The shama yomrim, eimotzim, you're not allowed to carry in the street. You're not allowed to carry on Yom Tov. Carrying is one of the lamentes of malachas. And he said the only time you're permitted to carry is with tzarech ha'chol nefesh, if it has to do with eating. To bring the food to the sukkah, to cook the food, to make the fire and so on. But to carry eimotzim, lo yasak kotim, lo yasak lulav, lo yasak sefer Torah, lo shu sarami. You're not allowed to carry a lulav, a sefer Torah, a baby, you're not allowed to carry. Ubeisilo matim, Beisilo say that it is permissible to carry. So the shaila is, why did Beisilo say it's mutter? I bet it's not echal nefesh. Why should it be mutter? So the Gemara is going to have two suggestions, two pshat. A right pshat and a wrong pshat. So the wrong pshat, the Gemara says, sometimes you have a machleg, here it's not. So the wrong pshat is that we have 39 malachas on Shabbos, and from all the 39 malachas on Shabbos, Tesis points out on the first daf, on that day, some of the Aleph and Shabbos, that I saw as a malacha grew in. That it's a weaker malacha. What sense a weaker malacha? By every malacha, you're creating something new. Kaisev, you wrote something. Boichek, it's not there anymore. And Boina, you built a house. And Soisev, the house isn't there anymore. And Noteya, you planted a tree. And Kaisev, you cut down the tree. Every malacha is a major change. And Hoitzoh, the food was over here, and I carried the food over there. There's no chidush. I didn't create anything new. I didn't change anything, basically. I just moved it from one place to the other, from one location to the other. So that's what Taisus calls a malacha grua. And Taisus says, therefore, because Hoitzoh is a malacha grua, therefore the rules and regulations are slightly different. Slightly different. A couple of days. Basically, it's the same. All the lamentas malachas are governed by the same rules and regulations, but slightly different. You have a few kulis in Hoitzoh that you don't have by the other malachas because of the fact that it's a malacha grua. So the Gemara makes a suggestion on our daf. This is the incorrect suggestion, that there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. If you look down the daf, it says on the side, Yirmiyah, chapter Yud Zayin.
Yeah.
So the pasuk in Yirmiyah says, the Navi tells Bnei Yisrael, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So it sounds a mashmois from the Loshen that Hoitzoh, the malacha grua, is only prohibited on Shabbos, and on Yom Tov, from all the lamites of its malachas, only 38 apply. The 39th malacha, Hoitzoh, doesn't apply. Because there's a malacha grua, it does not, you throw it out in guns. So that was the Gemara's suggestion. Maybe that's the machlokes b'sham and b'sul. The b'sul and matir, they hold that Hoitzoh is het gomi. You're allowed to carry all you want on Yom Tov. Only on Shabbos is also on Yom Tov is mutter. The Gemara is going to show that that's not correct. That's going to be the incorrect pshat. And the correct pshat is that the machlokes b'sham and b'sul is mitoich. That b'sham, I say, the chumish only has a heter oichal nefesh. Anything that's not oichal nefesh has no heter. And the Bistil will say no, not only mitoch shuchul, tzarech ochal nefesh, any malacha that you're allowed to violate for the purpose of malacha tzarech ochal nefesh, so you're permitted to violate that malacha, tzarech ayon ktas also. Even if it's not so much for ochal nefesh eating purposes, for other tzarechim is also mutah. So to carry a lulav is also tzarech. He wants to shake the lulav in the middle of the halal. He wants to go with hoshinus. They need a sefer Torah. He wants to take a sefer to the park to learn. Nice fresh air outside. He wants to carry a chumash. He wants to carry a mishnayis or something. He wants to carry a sefer to learn. He wants to take the baby for a walk. So you're permitted to carry on Yom Tov, even if it's not a chal nefesh, the tzarech ha-yom tzav. So that's how the Gemara starts.
But still, the mitoyach only applies to a chal nefesh. It doesn't apply to mitoyach to other malachas.
From there.
Any malacha that could be mutter in the case of a chal nefesh, so it's also mutter, the tzarech ha-yom tzav. Yeah. Because the original head to the pasuk only says achash yochel chal nefesh ulevad liyosnichan. Pasuk only said the head to echal nefesh, but somehow we read in between the lines that there's another head. Where? How do you read in between the lines that there's a head? Not only is it mutter to violate any given malacha l'tzarech echal nefesh for food purposes, it's even mutter to violate it for any tzarech. Where does it say that? So there's a whole sefer that's called Malachas Yom Tov. all about this topic, it starts from this topic. It was written by one of the Gedolim in Europe, Rav Moshe Sokolovsky. Moshe Sokolovsky was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and he happened to have a yeshiva in Brisk. He happened to have a yeshiva in Brisk. This sefer, Malachas Yom Tov, he wrote before he learned for Rav Chaim, so this is the old style learning. Koyde Matan Torah. And then after he learned, Barat Chaim, then he wrote a different sefer that's a totally different language, the Imre Moshe. It's a totally different language, a real, real heavy artillery language, and it's only on Noshim and Ezekiel. No more Arachaim Dikas stuff, no more Morgan Avroms and Machzah Shekels and Prima Gardens, none of that stuff. Heavy artillery, heavy stuff. So he has a whole sefer where he points out there are three Shittas in Rishonim. What is the source of the Beisilu? Where do they get this idea? That any malacha that you're permitted to violate with tzorach achanefesh, you're permitted, if you have a heter for achanefesh, then you can extend the heter beni tzorach hayom. Where is that? So one sheet he quotes is that you don't need a pasuk. It's all based on a svara. That's very difficult. Yeah. No one understands why is it a svara. Hasvara in a sense like the Beis Shammai. The Chumash says a heter achanefesh. That's the only heter. Well, why should you say it's a svara to be matter the tzorach shat tzorach? So that's very difficult. But the two famous opinions are that the Shitas Beis Hillel Mitach is based on a pasuk, but there are two versions as to what the pasuk is. So he quotes the Shita Mukubetzis in the first Perek in Ksubis. The Gemara in the first Perek in Ksubis on Dav Zayin and Aleph has a little bit of a discussion of Mitach, of this dispute between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. So the Shita Mukubetzis there always adds on to Tesis and to the Rishonim, has a lot to say. So the Shita quotes in the name of the Ravid on Ksubas on Dav Zayin that the opinion of Beis Hillel is based on the word Lachem. It says, Acha Sheyachal Lachol Nefesh, Hu Levado Ye Yosa Lachem. So what do you need the word Lachem? Hu Levado Ye Yosa. So the word Lachem sounds like it's broadening out the Heter. Lachem Lachol Tzarchechem. Everything goes. Whatever you need, you're allowed to violate a Malacha. That's what the Gemara says later. The Gemara has later machlekes hatanoim about machshire echol nevesh. Machshire means like this: echol nevesh, I'm going to cook food because I want to eat the food. I want to carry the food to the sukkah to eat the food. So that's legitimate. The purpose of cooking the food is to eat the food on yonder. Purpose of carrying the food to the sukkah is to eat the food in the sukkah. I want to eat it over there. I don't want to eat it in the house. The purpose of turning on the fire, let's say I have the pilot light on. If you don't have the pilot light on, and you turn on the fire and it goes on, that's moiled eish mecharish. That you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. And most of the poskim hold that that's an isa derabbanan. That's a mishnah later. The moiled eish mecharish to strike a match is also a derabbanan. But if you have a pilot light and when you turn on the gas, it catches flame from the already existing fire. So to be moiled eish meish, to be madlik eish meish, is mutar on Yom Tov if it's litzarach achanavish. He wants to cook the food. So he can do havore, he can do bishul, he can do hersor carry, he can shech the bain, he can salt it, well, all the malachas he can do for the purpose of the chanavish. What if the fork and the knife is broken? And he has to fix the fork and the knife, or the pot is broken, whatever, or the oven is broken. Sure. He has to fix it in order that he should be able to eat the food, in order that he should be able to cook the food. So when he fixes the fork or the knife or the oven, not only is it going to be gefixed of it, but today's meal is going to be a fix for the next month, for the next year, until the kids break it again, until his wife breaks it again, whatever, until it falls apart again. So if you would have such a thing, you fix a fork and a knife, and it's a disposable knife. Every time you eat, it falls apart. So that would be called echal nefesh mamish. That wouldn't be called machshir. But if you fix a knife or a plate or an oven, and it's going to last for a month, that's called machshir echal nefesh. I'm doing the malacha. And the effects of the malacha are going to have a lasting effect. It's going to last even after Yom Tov. So it's not just the malacha is leading up to the echal nefesh. It leads up for after Yom Tov.
What if I cook something and I cook more than I need? That's fine.
No, so that's permissible. That thing Gemara says that's called Mabar Bishirim. Yeah, so that's the actual cooking
of the
food.
That's not Hershey, that's cooking.
That's the actual Echal Nefesh, is Hefter Gomor, so you say even Mabar Bishirim is also Mutter. If you take, let's say in the freezer I have a 10-pound roast and I have a 1-pound roast. I don't have anybody there, 1 pound, flesh is more than enough. So you're even permitted to take the 10-pound roast and put it in instead of putting in the 1 pound. It's obvious that the reason why you're cooking extra is in order to have for after Yom Tov. Here you don't even need oil. Here you don't need oil. Oil would mean like this: I have 4 pots on all the 4 burners, and I'm cooking up a storm. I'm cooking in all the 4 pots. I'm cooking. I don't even need 1 pot's worth. So since theoretically guests, and I'm the favorite, I'm cooking for the bar mitzvah for the Sheva Brochas next month. I'm cooking and I'm going to put it away in the freezer. She's baking little cakes and cookies, whatever she's baking to put away for the bar mitzvah or something. She's storing it away. So there's mamish that's not oichal nefesh for yontif, so that's called hoil. Since theoretically Jewish guests may come, in which case she may want to serve everything. It depends how much she's serving. If the whole community is only so big and she made enough cookies and cakes for a whole army, even if everybody comes, it's not shaykh. That how many people live teichat chum? Even if everybody will come, they can't eat all the cakes and all the flesh and everything that she cooked. Then you don't have the din of hoil. But if she cooked more than she needs today, so but if everybody will come, then she will. Also, if everybody will come, the balabasta may not necessarily be interested in giving them. But if the balabasta is friendly with everybody, and it's a possibility that she may want to feed all the people, so that's a machlekes, and we pass in that ochel nefesh sets itself up, even though she didn't have that in mind. When she cooked and baked, she had the beferish in mind, this is for the bar mitzvah, the sherev brachos. This is for way after yontif, it's not at all for yontif. But since it may turn out that it'll be used today, for ochel nefesh, for all the yidin will come, so we say ochel nefesh sets itself up, you don't need kavanas agaver. That's one din. That's hoil din, mikle leachim, chazilei, if guests will come, everything would be eaten today. So ashtanami chazilei, it's called Echel Nefesh, even though there was no Kavanas Agam. But let's say...
why isn't that the first case for him?
When which you first case?
Mabrishurim.
You don't have to uncount the hoils or any...
Hoil is a machlekes. Amaroyim. But this is Hetagom, even if you don't believe in hoil. Right. Hoil is a machlekes in the Gemara, and machlekes are Rishayim had a pasta. And
here everybody
agrees. In this everybody agrees that it's mutter. This is called Eichel Nefesh Mamish. If I have a 10-pound roast and I have a 1-pound, I can put in the 10-pound on yontif.
Just like you said before, if I knew when I picked the knife and fork, it's going to fall apart right after it's going to be a hectic longer.
Yeah.
But the problem is, I know it's not going to last longer.
Right.
And here you're talking about Eichel Nefesh, regardless whether it's going to be for now or for later.
Right, so here where I'm Amish cooking the food, this is...
I know what you're saying, but in other words, when I fixed knife and fork for this particular moment, it's the grumble. The problem is, what will be for later?
But this is a hachana. Fixing the knife is a hachana. It's not the actual preparation
cooking.
Of the food. It's not the actual cooking. That has to do with eating the food.
If the knife and fork happens to break on you, you're not going to do it, right?
Yeah.
It's disposable.
No, that's the machlekes satanayim. So there is a machlekes satanayim. Are you permitted to fix a broken knife and fork and oven on yontif or not? On Shabbos it's a malacha. On yontif are you allowed to. So that's called machshire eichel nefesh. Machshire eichel nefesh is a machlekes satanayim. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it's permissible based on the word lochem. Chumash only says eichel nefesh. How does he know that machshirin is mutter? So the Gemara says later in the chav, sachav beis. Achashe eichel nefesh yasa lochem is another heter. Lochem lochol tzarcheichem. That even Machshir Eichel Nefesh is also Mutter. The Chachamim disagree, they say no, there's no Heter. And even Rabbi Yehuda says there is a Heter, but it says Levado. It says Levado sounds like a Miut, and Lachem sounds like a Ribui. So even Rabbi Yehuda says that there is a Heter, is only if the fork of the knife broke on Yontif. If it broke on Erev Yontif, and you could have fixed it with both Yom, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there's no Heter to do the Malacha for the purpose of Machshir Eichel Nefesh. If it broke on Yontif, or broke Erev Yontif, you just didn't have a chance to fix it, you were busy all day. So then it's a machlek zabiyun in the rabbanon, machshir eichel nefesh. And the chachamim would ask him, even if it broke on yom, that's called machshire. But again, the definition of machshire means it's not eichel nefesh mamish. I'm not preparing the food. I'm preparing a fork or a knife that's going to be used for eating the food. Okay, correct. But it's not the actual eichel nefesh. But then again, if fixing the fork and the knife only leads up to cooking the food, then it would also be mutter. There wouldn't be a dispute. That would also be called Eichel Nefesh. Have that same status as Eichel Nefesh. The only time it's called Machshirei, that there's a Machlekes, is if the fixed fork and knife is going to last for a long time. So it's going to lead up to eating this meal, plus lead up to being used after Yontif is over. So that's called Machshirei Eichel Nefesh. That's called Machshirei. The Rabbi Yehuda saw us to be Matir, another Heter. The Pasuk says, Achashiyachal Echol Nefesh, Echol Nefesh. Where did you get a Heter Machshirei Echol Nefesh? So the Gemara says it's based on the word Lachem. Lachem Lachot Tzachechem means that there's another Heter. There's an additional Heter. So the Raizeh, quoted by the Shittim Kovetzis in Ksubis on Dab Zayin, says that the opinion of the Silo that any malacha carrying or shechting or cooking or lighting the fire, all the malachas that you can sometimes have a heter for the purpose of echal nefesh hamutter for any tzarach hayam ktsas, is all based on that same word lochem, lochem lochol tzarchechem. But they don't say lochol tzarchechem in the sense of machshir echal nefesh. Lochol tzarchechem means any tzarach hayam ktsas, anything that the tzarach hayam ktsas would be mutter. That's why the Ravid says that you have a limitation over here. You're only permitted to carry the lulav to shul, or the talis, or the machzah to shul, if it was ef shalasis mebod yom. But if it's ef shalasis mebod yom, if you have an erev, so you're allowed to carry on Shabbos also, so there's no malach at all. But after you don't have an erev, so what do you do when it's Shabbos? You don't have an erev. So the answer is carry the talis to shul before. What do you do when you have Yom Kippur? What do? You carry the machzah before. What do you do when Yom Tov Sukkot falls out on Shabbos? You carry the machzah to shul before. So here also, when Yom Tov falls out on a weekday, if you could have easily carried the machzah and the talis to shul before Yom Tov, then the Ravid claims, most of the Rishonim don't agree, the Ravid says there in the Shittim Kubetis in Ksudas of Zayin, he says since the source of Beis Hillel Shita is from the word Lochem, so whenever you're learning from Lachem, you have the limitation of Levado. Like Rav Yehuda said by the Machshir Eichel Nefesh, there's a Heta, Lachem, Lachol Tzarchechem, but it has a restriction, has a limitation of Levado. That it's only Mutter to do the Melacha for Machshirin, if it's Shiyev Shalas, it's Mod Yom. So the Ravid claims that the Heta of Tzarech HaYom Tzas Mitoch, this is quote, any Melacha that's Mutter, Mitoch, that the Melacha is Mutter for Eichel Nefesh, so the Melacha is also Mutter for Tzarech HaYom Tzas, that would only be if it was EF Shalas is Mbogyam. If EF Shalas Mbogyam is an Issa Derais.
If you fix it in your throat away after Yom Kippur, that would be good.
It doesn't matter. No.
You mean it's only leading up to the.
Yeah, but if you could lay. That's the important thing.
It's not better to go out to a neighbor to borrow this broken fork instead to use to repair this broken fork.
You mean you have a better eitzah not to do the malacha at all? Borrow a fork from the
neighbor.
Halacha l'maisa for sure. Halacha l'maisa for sure, because it's a machloikis and shulchan aruch how we pass them by the broken fork. Whether we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, whether we pass like the Rabban. Whether are you allowed to do malacha for machshir echal nefesh or not? So the best is to avoid the whole machlekes. Bottom line, if it gets stuck, so we're makel. And the machshir echal nefesh we're makel. But there is a machlekes ha-rishayim, how you paskin over it. The best thing certainly is to avoid it, not to use the head.
Are you being nochri?
Whatever you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to have a nochri do for you. Amir Lenochi applies on Yom Tov also. If the din is that I'm allowed to do it, so I don't need a Nochi. If the din is it's better to have it all you day Nochi, of course. But if the din is I'm not allowed to do it, so then it doesn't help you as a Nochi. If your old Machshir Echal Nefesh is forbidden, then you're not allowed. So again, there are three opinions. In this Sefer, it's a classic. This Sefer by Rav Moshe Sokolovsky, that's called the Melechus Yom Tov, that starts off with this Mishnah. He starts off with this topic of the Silo Shita. What is the mocker for this little sheet? Why should you say mitoich? Make a taste that you're allowed to carry and you're allowed to make a fire and you're allowed to shecht and you're allowed to cook, not only for Eichel Nefesh, even for Tzarech HaYom Ktsas. Where does it say that? The Chumash only says Eichel Nefesh. So one group of Rishonim, he says, say it's a svar, you don't need a pasuk. So that's unbelievable. Why should it be a svar? That we don't understand. And the other two serious opinions are, first one is difficult. The other two, one says it's derived, quoted by the Shittim Kubetz and Ksuba, says it's based on the Pasuk Lochem. Lochem Lochol Tzarchechem, which always carries with it a limitation of Levado. So the Tzilul would only say Mutter to carry the Talis and the Machzah to Shul on Yom Tov if it was Yev Shalasis Mevod Yom, which is usually not the case. Usually people carry the Machzerim to Shul and the Talis to Shul, even though they could have done it Mevod Yom. So it doesn't sound like we're following that Ravid's opinion. So the other opinion is Rav Lezer Mimitz, who wrote the Sefer Yireim. Rav Lezer Mimitz was a Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam, the Baal HaTosfos. Rav Lezer Mimitz wrote a Sefer Yireim. It's a Sefer on mitzvahs. He lists off all the mitzvahs, says it, all the mitzvahs, lo says, and then when he's listing off the mitzvahs, he throws in a few halachas here and there. It's like a kitzur shulchan aruch, but it's not arranged like the kitzur. It's arranged in the form of a sefer mitzvah. So when he talks about malach and yontov, like the smag also, the smag and the smag is also like a kitzur like a shulchan aruch, and he arranges all the dinim in the order of the mitzvah. So in the sefer Yireim, when he writes about malach and yontov, he quotes b'silo, and he says the mocker of b'silo is based on the pasuk achashay yochel chol nefesh. So he raises a question. What's that? This nefesh? Nefesh sounds like the soul. The soul eats the food. Who eats the cholent? My soul is not so fat.
Nefesh does not always mean the soul.
Okay. So that's the question that he raises. Yeah. He raises a question. The soul isn't eating the food. The body is eating the food. So what is the achashayachel chol nefesh? Should say l'chol guf or something like that. So he says you have to read it with a semicolon. The ein amikiyotim dekshuta. So the pashup shot is the way we always read. When a person wants to eat food, nefesh means a person. But he says an additional level of interpretation would read the pasuk as if it had a semicolon. Achashei yochel semicolon or l'chol nefesh. You're not allowed to do malach on yontif unless it's oichel achashei yochel. Or if it's l'chol nefesh, tzorchei ha-nefesh. If it's the needs of the soul. What are needs of the soul? So if I want to carry a tinuk l'mulay, there's a mila bizmana on yontif, and I want to carry the baby for the purpose of performing the bris, tinuk l'mulay. Or if I have a lulav to shake the lulav in shul, I want to carry a sefer Torah or a sefer, a mishnayis, a chumash to learn a little bit when I go to the park. So that those are needs of the soul.
More
ruchnius, because ruchnius, right? So yeah.
But according to this,
So that's two versions in Tesis. In Ksubas, Dav Zayinim and Aleph, Tesis quotes that from the Rabbeinu Chananel, I think, on this daf, that it means, I think so, that the tinuk means tinuk lamuloi, cotton lamuloi, lulav lotzis boy, and the Sefer Torah lulmai boy. He wants to perform mitzvahs with it. So the Pashtus is in that Tosis in Ksubas Zayin HaMenav. Here Tosis doesn't quote anything, but the Tosis in Ksubas Zayin HaMenav gives the three examples of the Beisilo. They say everything has to be Tzarchei Mitzvah. And then at the end they raise the question, what if I want Tinuk L'Tayo? I want to go for a walk to the park and I don't have a babysitter. I don't want to have a babysitter. So I want to take the baby also to the park. Not interested in performing any mitzvah. Some want to have a good time. Maybe that's also called Tzarech HaYom Ktsas. When Bisilu say any malocha let they carry, the baby can't walk on his own. The baby can't even crawl. As if I carry a human being who's able to walk on his own, so that minatari say achay neser esatzmoi, and there's we assume that the rabbanon is forbidden, it's prohibited the rabbanon to carry a child or a person who can walk on his own. We say there's no isa deraisa to carry, it's only an isa derabbanon. The Mishnah sounds like we're talking about an isa deraisa to carry a baby. So the answer is yeah, you're talking about a little infant. The infant can't even crawl. He can't even crawl, so that for sure is an Isa Rabbi Tzur. The Gemara says in Shabbat, there's a machleke satanoim, whether you say achayna say satzman by animal.
Yes.
By a human being who walks on 2 feet, everybody's maskma achayna say satzman. By an animal that crawls on all four, that's a machleke satanoim. What if you have a human being who can walk on 2 feet, he crawls. He crawls on all four. So that should be a machlekes, the same machlekes satanaim. If you have an animal who walks on all four, that's a machlekes satanaim. So if you have a baby who walks on all four, that would be a machlekes. But if you have a little infant, they can't even crawl. He's before the age of crawling. So then the Gemara says, what if you have a human being who's chayle, or a person who's kofus, he's tied up. He can't move. He's tied up or he's sick. So everybody would agree that you don't say achayne, say satsman. There'll be an isa deraisa to carry such a person. So we're talking over here, let's say, such an infant, he can't even crawl. And l'chol adei, if there is, we are involved in an issue deraisa in carrying the baby. So the Bishamai say the issue deraisa remains b'mkaimai. You're not permitted to take the baby for a stroll. And with Bisil, we pass like the Bisil, that is mutter, so that's a shayla. When is that? So one version in the Tosis in Ksubas is only tinuk l'mulay. Only if you want to perform a mitzvah smila on the baby. It's time to have a stroll in the park to get fresh air is not permissible. Then the other, then Tosis has another 2 days. The 1 day is no. Who says that it has to be ruchnius dikat sarachim? That's where Rav Lezer Mimit sounds like he holds l'chol nefesh. The whole makor of Beis Hillel is from the word l'chol nefesh has to be tzorchei hanefesh ruchnius dikat sarachim. But then Tosis has another version. No, any tzorchei yom ktsas is enough to be matzah. Then Tosis has to back out a little bit. No, maybe it really has to be a ruchnias diket zarech, but this is a ruchnias diket zarech. Oynig yontif. Simchas yontif, oynig yontif. It has to be dafke tinek, has to be a mitzvah bin adam, lamoka in epis. Such a ruchnias diket. Oynig yontif, where you enjoy it is also a mitzvah. Simchas yontif, oynig yontif is also a mitzvah.
Basically subjective for the individual.
The determination of what's the kiyum mitzvah, but once you do it, right? But once you do it, so it is a it is a mitzvah. So that's what Tosfos writes: the three possibilities. The first possibility is only tinek lamulai, an outright mitzvah. That if you ask a goy, the goy would say there's some religious observance over here. They're carrying the baby for religious observance. And the other day in Tosfos doesn't have to be so clear religious observance. Any hanoya, tocha yom ktas is muta. And the third day in Tosfos is anyhow, no, it's mutter because it's also a religious observance. It's the religious observance of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif and Oynig Yontif.
Well, so well, you have to bring it back then, according to the mitzvah.
To bring the machza back.
Right, that's not already the root of the nefesh.
Right, so if I need a benching that has yalav yob, I don't have a bench oil at home. So I need the machza at home. If I have bench oil at home, so what's the heter to carry the machzor home? There shouldn't be any heter. So the rush, right. So that's what the rush has this whole discussion. That if you're afraid they're going to take it, and if you'll tell him he's not allowed to carry it back home, so he's going to hesitate in the first place whether he's going to take the machzor to shul. In the first place, he knows once he takes it, he's going to take the machzor, it's going to disappear. It may disappear in shul. He'll carry his talis to shul, and then you tell him, you carried it to shul, there was a tzorach hayom tzad, but there's no tzorach hayom to carry the talis home, so you have to leave the talis in shul, so he may be afraid to take the talis in the first place, and he may be satisfied with the talis alcohol, which is questionable. So in order to encourage him in the first place, to take his talis to shul, we say, if you were safer on Mishum Chilosim, we permit you to carry it home in order to encourage you to take it in the first place. In other words, carrying it home, carrying the talis and the machzor home is also considered Tzorach HaYom Ktzas. Why? Because if he has in the back of his mind that he's not allowed to carry it, I mean, he may not want to take it in the first place. So that enables him to take it in the first place. The knowledge that he can carry it home enables him to take it in the first place. That's called in the Gemara language. The Gemara calls that hitiru seifon mishum chilosim. We permitted you to do a malacha later. That's in the Gemaras that we just skipped. Depends on when we learn enough basis, so we'll go back to this.
That would be only on the rabbanon. On the rabbanon, you would say that on the rice as well.
You say this by Yotzei Shabbos to go out to make milchoma. You say they're allowed to come back with the klei zayin.
That's a problem. The shita mekubetz. There is a shita mekubetz on beitzah also. It's not by Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi, but there is such a sefer called shita mekubetz. So the shita mekubetz on beitzah writes that hitir itself from shem chilasim is clear from the Gemara. It's only by the rabbanim. It doesn't apply to a malacha deraisa. It's only to carry to do a malacha derabbanan. Then the problem, and that's how the Mogen Avraham says, without the Mogen Avraham didn't have a shita mekubetz, he writes on his own from the Gemara, it would appear that this whole kula, that we allow him to do malacha at the end, and this enables him to do it in the first place, it's considered tzorach hayom ktzas, because otherwise he wouldn't want to do it. This is only a svara to be matam in issa derabbanan. Then the later paskim are bothered with your Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara says when they go to defend the city, we even permit them to carry their weapons home. And the Gemara there also has the expression, Tosfos has the expression, So that's mamish carrying on the highways. They're carrying on the highways. So
Shabbos,
and it's the Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. Yeah. So one of the Gedolei Achrayim, there's a Sefer Chelkas Yoyav. The Chelkas Yoyav was a Chassidish Rebbe. He was a Talmud of the Sochat Shova, of the Avnei Nevi. Very harif. Sometimes it's so harif as dick. The Avnei Nevi is very harif as dick, but you can't catch him. You can't catch him. He's always right. It's very hard to catch the Avnei Nevi. But he had Talmidim. He was such a super genius like the Rav. The Rav was such a genius, he can't imitate the Rav. It's not Shaykh. So the people that tried to imitate him, it's always a flop. So the Sochat Shova Rebbe, the Avnei Nevi, had a yeshiva. They described it. Some people described it. They used to sit and learn in base medrash 8 hours a day, 6 hours a day, and they had big lomdim, and they all used to talk. Everybody was talking at the same time, and he was the MC. He was the chairman of the whole shmuz. That conversation and learning all day long, they were talking like. So he was such a super genius. You learn his forms, unbelievable sheer genius. So his talmidim couldn't imitate him. So some of them have imitation of Nezer, tremendous flop. Some of them are tremendous flop. So one of his talmidim was the Chalkas Yoiv. He's also super genius, but not exactly like the Rebbe. He has a lot of things that are very strange. Anyway, so he raises this issue. He raises this issue. If the Magen Avraham says that it tears itself from Shem Chilasim is only the Rabbanon, that's what it seems from the Gemara, and that's what it says in Shittim Kubetzes, quotes all the sources. So he says, so what do you do with the Gemara in Erevin? That there are a lot of carry on Shabbos. It gives a whopper of a teretz. He says, maybe because carrying is a malacha grua, so maybe it's different from the other 38 malachas, since it's malacha grua. Shvacha malacha. That you're not creating any change in status or anything. You plant a tree, so it's different. You harvest it, you rip off the fruits from the tree, some change. You shech the aim and there's a change. You're changing something. You write something, you erase something, you build a house, you demolish the house, you may have a major change. But over here, by carrying it, you just carried it from one place to the other. So Tyson says the malacha grua, and therefore there are certain slight differences. There are details that are slightly different in Haitzah than from the other malachas. But it's usually peanuts. It's usually little nafkamin. There's nothing major. So the Chelkas Yoyav suggests whopper of a chiddush. He says he doesn't have a better teretz. He says, if anybody has a better teretz, please send me a letter and I'll be happy to print it in my next volume. That's what he writes. He says, it doesn't have a he writes this in a footnote to one of his long essays. He says, doesn't have a better teretz. He says, the Gemara says, the fairies that it's mutter by carrying on Shabbos. Carrying on Shabbos on the highways. Mamash and Malacha, they're right, not a kamelis. So he says, maybe because carrying is a Malacha grua, so maybe that's why we make it, which is very schwer. There's really a major difference. Major difference. He wants to have his weapons back home.
You see, now the whole hetter for Hatzolah is based on that Gemara. Right?
Well, Rav Moshe, no. Right. Rav Moshe was. Moshe wrote that it's permissible for the Hatzolah people to drive back from the house.
Because it may be another.
That's a real suffix sakana. Yeah. If you may need it for another patient. Then it's a suffix sakana. Then right. There's no shot. But let's say it's towards the end of the day, and they have other Hatzolah vans, and
they wouldn't go to begin with.
Oh, so Ramosha says, since we're afraid they wouldn't want to go to begin with, they're going to think twice to ruin the whole Shabbos. So Ramosha says, we even permit the Hatzolah men, the Shomer Shabbos, to drive the Hatzolah van back. So that's already a Malacha Deraisa, not Haitzah. So that's why they disagreed with Ramosha. That's why many Rabbanim disagreed. Among them was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, disagreed with Ramosha. Rav Moshe was apparently much older than Rav Shlomo Zalman, around 10 years older or something. So Rav Shlomo Zalman asked him permission to publish a tshuva disagreeing with him. So Rav Moshe gave him permission, so it's printed. He printed his tshuva, and then it's printed in his sefer, what's it called, the Mincha Shlomo. So the first footnote says, he asked permission from Rav Moshe, like a little chart. He asked permission to print a tshuva disagreeing. Moshe gave him permission, so he has permission. So he's printing. He wouldn't have the chutzpah to print the tshuva, even though he could have fooled me, you know. I thought when I knew Rav Moshe Feinstein, I didn't know Rav Shlomo Zalman so well. So I enjoy Rav Shlomo Zalman's tshuva sometimes much more than Rav Moshe. So he could have fooled me. I would have thought Rav Shlomo Zalman was maybe as big as Rav Moshe, maybe bigger. But people who were really going him, who knew them both, they told me that Rav Yanki Kamenetsky said there was no comparison. That when he met Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and he spoke to him for a few hours, he said, no comparison, he can't compare to Rav Moshe. He could have fooled me, I don't know. Yeah. Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that he's not allowed to publish a tshuva. He's entitled to an opinion when people ask him, he can pass him. But he felt to publish the tshuva, disagreeing with Rav Moshe, and he disagrees with Derech Eretz. He disagrees with Derech Eretz. He doesn't attack him or anything, he just shows all the Marmon Kodesh and he comes to his conclusion.
That's a better head.
The Gemara says Yantav Sheni, when there's a Levaya, Melila, and Yantav Sheni, Kechol Shav Yor Rabbanon. we are makel more. We're makel more. So there the pastor say they should, if there's a Jewish community near the cemetery, they should stay there. Or they should go to the nearest Jewish community. They shouldn't take a come if the burial is in Clifton, New Jersey. They shouldn't come all the way back. But that's against the Mishnah Berurah, because there are Jewish communities in Paramus. There are Jewish communities in Teaneck and in Englewood before. You don't have to come all the way to the bridge. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, they're not supposed to come back all the way from Clifton back to New York. They should go to a Jewish community nearby. Yeah. Also, there's a Jewish community there in Clifton. They should stay there in Clifton. That's a shot. So they don't follow the Mishnah Berurah. Roya doesn't follow Mishnah Berurah. They have their own
tradition.
Okay. They have their own traditions. No. So that's interesting. See, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman wrote a tshuva, and he felt that he needed permission. So he writes in the first footnote to the tshuva, he got the explicit permission from Rabbi Moshe to publish a tshuva disagreeing with him, and he writes that he writes the whole cheshbon that he tirusar from shemchilosam is only permissible under Rabbanan. I want to do with the Gemara by carrying.
Yeah.
So he says no. He says the Chasam Sofer interpreted that Gemara is based on the theorist of Mishum Chilos, and says, and the Gemara doesn't say. He says Taisus, the Chasam Sofer said it based on the Taisus. So Taisus doesn't say it either. He interprets the whole thing. He says it's because they may need the weapons here. Because let's say the Hatzolah, yeah, they went to the hospital. Now it's early in the, it's a Friday night. Yeah. Someone else may have to go to the hospital, so you can't wait till they have another Hatzolah call. Then they're going to spend 20 minutes to come back to the community and then go back 20 minutes to the hospital. They have to be close by. So the heter to come back to the community is because of a suffix sakana. They're allowed to drive back. They don't need a goy for that. There's a suffix sakana. They may be needed later in the day. So that's what Shlomo Zalman or Bachtain is, that Gemara in Erevin that speaks about the soldiers went to save a village, was attacked on Shabbos. And then they carried back all the weapons. He says because they may come attack again from the other side. It's not because it tira sofa mishum chilos. He says the Chasam Sefer interpreted it like that, and that's what brought about the whole problem. Aitz and Isa deraisa, you don't have it tira sofa mishum chilos and by deraisa. So he denies the whole thing. He says the Gemara never said. He says the answer is because we may need the weapons to protect us, to defend us in another instance here. But getting back again, this machlek is b'sham and b'sul. So halacha lemaisa we pass them like this hill, that not only is it permissible to do malach on yontif for echal nefesh purposes for preparing food, sorach hayom ktsas also muta. And we assume not only like that opinion, like the one opinion, only tzorchei mitzvah, tinek lamulai, and lulav latzis bay, and sefer tera lilmud bay, even shat sorach hayom, whatever at sorach hayom is also muta. All tzorachim are also muta. That's how we assume.
Have a good time.
Yeah, that's the way we assume. In fact, take the following shaila. There is a din, whenever you do a bris milah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it constitutes a malacha.
Yeah.
The question what the malacha is, but the Gemara assumes so clearly that there's some kind of malacha involved in performing a bris milah. Different opinions in Rishon on what the malacha is. So the Mishnah says in Shabbos, we learned it when we learned Rav Lezer the milah. You're only permitted to do a bris milah on Shabbos or Yom Tov if it's a milah b'zman. If the baby was born last week and this is the Yom HaShmini, so the Yom HaShmini is Deich Shabbos and Deich Yom Tov. What if the bris had to be postponed? And then the earliest time that the Moel and the doctor say they're able to perform the bris on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so then you're not allowed to. Milah shlo b'zmana, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yom Tov Sheni is a machloike. What about this Yom Tov? The Mishnah says the second day Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos and Maseches Erchem, the Mishnah was composed in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't have 2 days Yom Tov. The only 2 days Yom Tov they have is Rosh Hashanah. So the only second day Yom Tov that the Mishnah can talk about being composed in Eretz Yisrael, second day Rosh Hashanah. It's explicitly talking the second day Rosh Hashanah. So it says you're not permitted to perform a bris that was postponed on the second day Rosh Hashanah. What if it's not the second day Rosh Hashanah? We know the second day Rosh Hashanah is Mochomer, and then the second day is Simchat Torah, and the second day Shavuos, and the second day Pesach. What about another Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias that's slightly lower level? It's not a Yom HaRichter, it's only Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So that's a famous Machlokes, the Tosfos and the Rambam in the Rosh. The Rambam holds that on every Yom Tov Sheni you're permitted to do a Milah Shel Bizman. And the Rosh holds no, that the Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael, so it only says Rosh Hashanah. But if you live in Chutz Lo'ez and you have every other Yom Tov Sheni Shavuot, it's the same as second day Rosh Hashanah. Amilu Shlo Bizmani, you're not allowed to do, not on Shabbat, not on Yom Tov, not on Yom Tov Sheni Shavuot. What happens if you have, what if the baby was born Bein Hashmoshes time? Let's say the baby was born Bein Hashmoshes, let's say stop, a baby is born Bein Hashmoshes, the night was, what was today? It was Tuesday, going into Wednesday. The baby was born 10 minutes after the Shkia. Bein Hashmoshes time. So when would you do the bris? So you wouldn't, next week you wouldn't perform the bris on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Maybe Bein Hashmoshes is really Laila. The halacha says that Bein Hashmoshes is treated as Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So you wouldn't say, do the bris next week on Tuesday. Maybe it's a Mila Techzman. So you would say, do the bris next week on Wednesday. Either it's Mila Bizman, either Bein Hashmoshes is Kilaila. And it's a Mila Bizmana, or it's a Mila Shloi Bizmana. What can you do? So what happens? What happens if it's Friday evening? What if it's the baby is born a few minutes after Shkia Friday evening, going into Shabbos? So next week you wouldn't perform the bris on Friday. Maybe it's Tershman. Maybe it's the seventh day. You don't know. Maybe Bein Hashmoshes. You can't do it on Shabbos because it's a Safek. Maybe a Mila Shloi Bizmana. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So you have to wait till Sunday. So the Mishnah says, and what happens if Sunday is Yom Tov? So you're not allowed. It's clearly a Milush. By the time it comes Sunday, for sure it's a Milush Lebizmana.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to do it on Sunday. What if Monday is the second day Rosh Hashanah? So you got to wait till Tuesday. So the baby was born Friday evening, Bein Hashmoshes. So because of the Bein Hashmoshes, you can't do it next week on Friday. You can't do it on Shabbos. You can't do it on Sunday if Sunday is Yom Tov. You can't do it on Monday if Monday is Yom Tov Sheni Shal Goli or Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. So what happens if it's like this? The baby is born, let's say, Tuesday evening going into Wednesday. So next week you don't want to do the bris on Tuesday, maybe Shvi, you'll do the bris on Wednesday. Wednesday is Yom Tov. What do you do if Wednesday is Yom Tov? So that doesn't say in the Mishnah.
Yeah, but that's only for Shabbos.
All the Rishonim say like that. Same. If the baby was born Friday evening, Bein Hashmoshes, next week, Shabbos, you're not allowed to do the bris, because the heter to do the bris on Shabbos only Mila Bizmana. And if it's a suffix, if it's Mila Bizmana, Mila Shloi Bizmana, you're not allowed, no heter, you can't do it. So if next Wednesday is Yom Tov, so a suffix derives a lechumah, so you shouldn't be allowed to do it next Wednesday either. So that's what all the Rishonim who talk about the topic, they all say. Rambam and Shulchan Aruch and everybody in between the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, they all say like that. Came Arbitzel Eparavizha, then our grace said God. So Arbitzel Eparavizha takes on all the Rishonim. He does it all the time. He disagrees with everyone. So Arbitzel was the biggest Rosh Hashiva in the time of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. It's the beginning of the century, beginning of the 1900s. He was a goyin mefulpo miyot, but when it came halacha l'maisa, the gedolim all said you shouldn't listen to what he said. Halacha l'maisa, he said that wasn't his forte. Psak was not his strength. He was strong in an opening
Okahar.
Yeah. They tell a story that the Chazon Ish, when he was a young teenager, wanted to learn in the yeshiva. So he went to learn in Panovich yeshiva. Abitzel Panovich was the yeshiva. So he was saying a Shiran Kiddushin, a regular yeshiva. They were learning Noshim Ezik and saying a Shiran Kiddushin. They said on the Gemara, on Ritzias Eved Ivri, if an Eved Ivri is there for 7 years and he says, Ahaptias Adon Yasish to Bizbana Lo Yetze, he doesn't want to go free. So the Odon takes him out there and he makes a hole in his ear and he stays on until Yovel. So he said, based on the Gemara, he said, Rabitzel said, Poshup Shat in the Gemara, that you can only have Ritzias Eved Ivri the last day of Sheish. The Eved Ivri remains in Eved. What did I say? 7 years, a mistake. He stays for 6 years. At the end of the 6th year, then he goes free, unless he says before the end of the 6th year, half the Asadon is finished with his bonnet. So Abitzalah said, Pashup Shatan Gemara, this is already not so mafulful. Pashup Shatan Gemara, he has to say this mamish the end of the 6th year when there's only a Shavar Pruta left. He has to say before the Shavar Pruta is done in the middle, the last 10 minutes of the last day. If he says it earlier, Teignish. So the Chazon Ish was sitting and listening to the Shir as a young student, and he thought that was not correct. And he thought he had an often a Mishnah in Shkolim. Whoever learns Mishnah in Shkolim, there's no Gemara, there's only Yerushalmi. Now that there's a Daf Yomi, they learn Shkolim once every 7.5 years. But at that time, I don't think there was any. No one was learning Daf Yomi. Nobody ever heard of Shkolim. Balabatim learned Mishnayis and Yeshivas. Nobody learned Mishnayis. So there's a Mishnah in Shkolim that says the Echad Ba'odor Roitzim Esu Avodim. The practice was Bizman HaTanaim, they would make the hole in the Eved Zir Echad Ba'odor. Every Eved was bought on the second day of Odor. So the first day of Odor is always the last day of the sixth year. How can it be? So obviously, see from the Mishnah, Be'echad Be'odor, the practice was of Shchodesh Odor. It's the line of all the Avodim to do Ritziyah. Obviously, the Ritziyah need not necessarily be done the last 10 minutes of the last day of the sixth year. So he just, the Chazon Ish just went to the bookcase and he took out a Gemara Sochem that has the Shkolim in the end. He opened it up. He walked up to the front. Rav Ditzel was staying by a Shtender. So he took the Gemara and he just put it on top of it. He had a Gemara Kiddushin on the Shtender, saying Kiddushin. He put it on top of the Gemara and he walked out. And Rav Ditzel didn't know what hit him. What did the guy do here? He put a Gemara. So he looked in the Mishnah. So he realized that he made a mistake. And often a Mishnah can't be right. So he apologized to everybody. He was saying a whole pilpul based on this premise. He apologized. He says he didn't know who the guy is. He says the young man showed me a Mishnah that it's wrong. So the Chazon Ish left the yeshiva. He didn't want to say. So he said, what? He felt so insulted. He said, no, this time I chapped you. This time I knew this mission. Next time I won't know there's a mission again. So he doesn't want to stay to learn in the yeshiva where the Rosh Yeshiva can pull the wool over their eyes. He says he'll say something, it'll be against another mission. He was famous. Rav Ditzel was a famous goy.